Amen. Some of y'all are feeling better. I think y'all are all like I am. You got cough and stuff, and it just won't go away yet. If the cough would go away, I'd feel 10,000 times better. I can guarantee you that. She's in a hurry. She's excited about where she's going. Oh no! I hope that you've hope everybody's gotten over their sicknesses and all of that. And I appreciate you calling and texting and checking on me and Leslie. Leslie had it real bad. She started on Tuesday before Christmas, and she stayed bad up until about Friday, and then I got it. So it was rough. I did look back and sit there and tell her, I said, you know, God must have had a really good plan, because I got to take care of the kids till Friday, and then she got to take care of them until I got over it. So it all worked out, I guess, the way that it needed to. If you're going to be sick, that's the best way for it to be. This morning, I'm going to preach fast if you'll listen fast. Like I said, I got a cough, so I got to try to preach faster than I can cough. If I do cough, I will try not to cough on you. Amen. And then we'll make it through there, all right? So if you have to give me a second, just give me a second. It'll pass, I promise. Take your Bibles, turn to Psalms chapter 30. Psalms chapter 30. Psalms chapter 30. Psalms 30 and verse 5, the Bible says, "For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to stand and preach again, Lord. I pray that you just be with everybody here, Lord, the ones that are still a little bit under the weather, Lord, that you'll just be able to help them to get over that, Lord, be able to take all the coughs away and all that stuff, Lord, and just be able to heal them up, Lord. I pray that you just be with us as we go through the Word of God this morning. Just help us get something out of it, God. I pray if somebody's not saved this morning, Lord, they get saved before it's eternally too late. That's the most important thing that'll happen here this morning, Lord. We pray that you just help us have a good new year, Lord. Help our church as we grow, Lord, and be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Now, I had the, I like to call it a privilege. Anytime I get to share the gospel, it's a privilege. Anytime you get to share the gospel, it ought to be a privilege. And you say, well, I may have had to do it at work. It don't matter. It's a privilege. Anytime you get to take the Word of God and say, hey, do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior? Take the opportunity. Every time, take the opportunity. You cannot go wrong if you share the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody. You say, well, I'm not really a public speaker. I don't care. God will equip you for long enough to make you get through it. I can guarantee that. You know why? Because he equips me every week to do it. And you say, well, you're not very good at it. That's fine. I don't have to be very good at it. God equips me for as long as I need to be equipped for it. I'm not a public speaker. I'm not great at all that. It's not something I just enjoy doing. But I count it a privilege every time I get to open up the Word of God and give the gospel to somebody. So this week, I had the privilege of doing a funeral. And those are tough. And they're even tough when you don't know who it is. See, I didn't know who they were. I had to... My mother, my stepmother-in-law, it was her two brothers. I had never met them personally. But they had been cremated, and one of them died earlier this summer, and one of them had died in November. Now, I'm not going to get on them details. Y'all just do whatever you will with all that. But if you cremate me, I'm going to be upset about it when y'all get to heaven. Do not burn me for nothing, all right? I ain't saying it's wrong. I know it's cheaper, okay? But don't do it to me, okay? That's all I ask. I want you to have to look at this ugly mug one more time when you walk past it, okay? Don't burn me. I don't want to die. I don't want to be burnt any shape, form, or fashion. I don't want to be burnt, okay? But they were cremated and they did all that. And as a preacher, you have the privilege of being able to do funerals. That's just part of the business, if you want to call it. You have to do funerals and you have to do weddings. Somebody dies in both, right? All you men shouting amen like you ain't the problem. Some of y'all better be quiet. It's going to be a long week. You ain't been married long enough, brother. You better hold on. It's too soon for all that. You get the privilege of doing things like that, and I take the opportunity to give the gospel no matter what, even in a wedding. Even in a wedding. And see, that's become more difficult nowadays because weddings are a lot more rigid about how they have everything set up. But I did a wedding for my niece, did her wedding, and I was able to share the gospel that way. There's a way to do it. There's a way to do it appropriately. There's a way to make sure that it doesn't interrupt the service and interrupt what all the things that the women want and all that kind of, there's a way to do it the right way. But you can share the gospel every time you get an opportunity. Funerals are a little bit easier. They just are. If you ever have had the opportunity of being able to do a funeral, it's pretty simple that you're going to get to share the gospel with somebody. But the problem comes in when you don't know what the person's eternity was. And that's where I found myself. I have a cough drop. Bear with me. If I choke, let me lay on the floor and go find my wife. Thank you. None of that. Don't get Thomas. For all anybody in here, don't get Thomas. He'll be up here stomping on me or something. But I was sitting there, and I was sitting there thinking about what am I going to say about James, and what am I going to say about Keith? What am I going to say about them? And I'm going through there, and I'm talking to the family, and I'm trying to figure out anything I can figure out about them, because that's what you do as a preacher. You're trying to say, hey, what were they like? What did they do? Where did they go to church at all? And I find out neither one of them go to church. They just lived a good life, good people. And I sit there, and I'm standing there before all these people, and you're trying to be considerate of the situation. You see, you need to be considerate of the situations. And to be honest with you, it really doesn't matter about Keith and James. Their eternity's already started. There is nothing I can do about them, okay? Nothing I can do to help Keith or James now. Not a thing. Their eternity started back this summer and in November. It's already been going on. And it saddens my heart to know that. Because from all that I can tell, everything that I could get information on, and everything that I knew leads to they were probably not saved. It's just the way that it is. One of them, I had a lady that came up. She was a preacher. Amen. I'm going to get off that. She was a preacher. She was going to open the whole graveside service. She was going to open up prayer. Well, she came up and she said, well, I know James. James went to my church and I baptized him. That's good. Did he get saved? That was the first question I asked her. Well, I didn't ask you if you baptized him. I asked, did he get saved? It don't matter how much you sprinkled him. It doesn't make any difference how much water you put on it. It don't make any difference whether you dump them here every week. That doesn't save you. And you could see that it kind of put her back. She was like, well, I already told you. I that's not what I care about. I care about, did he believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? That's what I care about, knowing. And she went on and she prayed and she said some nice stuff. She said stuff about seeing them in heaven. That's giving people false hope. So I had the the privilege to stand there and do this funeral, and I don't believe in giving you false hope when I don't know. And I know none of us really know. You only know that between you and God. But I feel like I could do pretty much everybody's funeral in this building right here. And I could stand in that pulpit and say, they were faithful to church. They had a clear testimony of salvation. And I believe they'll be in heaven when I get there. I believe I could do that to pretty much everybody in this room right here. But to those two men, I couldn't do that. And I had one of the sisters came and said, well, could you just say that maybe he's in heaven? It'd make us all feel better. I'm not here to make you feel better. I'm here to tell you the truth. You see, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning, right? Morning time's coming. So I told him. I said, morning time is coming, and it's getting closer. It's getting very close. These two men have already started their eternity. They've already started all that. They've been experiencing their eternity, whatever it may be. And I pray to God they got it settled. But if they didn't, they're burning in hell right now. But here's the thing. I got thinking about this. If they could come back and preach their own funeral, man, how they'd preach it. You said, well, James wasn't a preacher and Keith wasn't a preacher. I don't care. I got to thinking about all the people that I've watched go on to glory. If they could just come back and preach one sermon, it'd be better than any preacher that's ever got up in a pulpit. It'd be better than any sermon that's ever been preached in a pulpit. Why? Because they completely understand eternity. They completely understand it. If they could come back, they'd be able to sit there and say, hey, you better get it settled now. Why? Because morning's coming. It's getting real close. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're going to die and you're going to go to hell. That's where your eternity will be. That's where it'll end up. I look out in the crowd as I'm doing this, and I'm thinking it's going to be a small service because that's what I was told. Amen. When you do graveside services, you expect, 20, 30. No, they was like 70. There's a lot of folks. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, man, this is not a small crowd. And as I'm giving this gospel, and I'm just trying to give the gospel as clearly and as plainly as I can do it, I'm looking out in the crowd because you have to look at people, okay? And when you look out at them, and they just look like you're staring into a black hole. Some of y'all look like that right now. Not as bad, but close. They do. They look like you're just staring into just black holes. And you see them and they cry. And they have pain on their face because of the lost loved one that's gone on. But they're not getting what you're saying. You see, they're missing the point that, hey, there's something past this. They're just crying over what is gone. They're not thinking about the next step. When James died in November, guess what? It didn't end right there. He had to make the next step into eternity, wherever it was. You're going to do the same thing. All those people there are going to do the same thing. But we've gotten into this place where everybody just doesn't care anymore. We start 2023. Who would have ever thunk it? I thought everything was going to crash in 2000. How many were there for that? I remember the grown-ups going outside and cutting the lights off in the house to scare the devil out of us. I was there, Y2K, all that good stuff. I thought this thing was just shutting down then. I was a kid. We're in 2023 now. Things wax worse and worse. We know that, right? And it seems like when you look at a crowd of 70-something people that you ought to see somebody that gets it, but yet they all just look at you like, would you just be quiet? I don't care what the preacher has to say anymore. And it isn't me that you have to listen to. It's the Word of God that they should be listening to. When I get up and I just quote the Scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, and just give them the gospel, just as clear as it is right there in the Word of God, it ain't something I made up. It's just what I read out of the Word of God. And they just look at you like, nothing. But then you come to church and it looks the same way. What's wrong? Where have we missed it? You see, we're the problem. Because you see, I look at it 70-something people, and I get a bunch of this when I get done. Brother, that was good, amazing. You gave the gospel just as clear as it could be. Amen. You get all that. Great, wonderful. But yet you look like you'd rather be listening to anything else other than this. I've been to funerals, and I've been. My uncle died right at COVID. Passed away from COVID. I remember sitting there, and I remember just bawling over my uncle. He was like the other dad. You know, you got some of those people in your life. He was like my other dad. We were always over there. Me and my cousin played all the time. I was always at his house. He whipped me just about as much as my daddy did. And when Bozo died, we called him Bozo. He looked like he had a big fro, redheaded. We called him Bobo. His name is Mike Robinson. When Mike passed away, I remember sitting there and listening to my dad preach the funeral, and I remember just crying over the situation that he had died, but me sitting there thinking, man, if somebody just walked down the aisle and get saved, it'd make all this worth that. It'd make every bit of this okay if just one person had walked down the aisle. When he died, thank the Lord, they allowed three different people. God allowed three people to come down to the altar and get saved. It was worth every minute of it. And you see, that was the most important part. Mike had already started his eternity. He was already enjoying heaven. COVID got him down and it destroyed him, and we wept over all that. We were mourning all that. But man, when somebody came and got saved, guess what? It just changed everything. It said God's in control. Why? Because they had to be at that funeral. You know why? Because they were family members of Mike that Mike didn't ever see. And it took his death for it to happen. Sometimes that's what it takes. Mike's enjoying his eternity right now, but them three people, guess what? They're going to enjoy their eternity one day too. But what I've come to realize over the past few years and time, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5 tells us that people have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof, from such turn away. They have a form of godliness. We show up and we look good to everybody. We have a form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. You want to look Christian. In 2023, do you want to look Christian or do you want to be a Christian? Think about it. In 2023, do you just want to look like you're a good person or do you actually want to be a good person? Do you want to look like, hey, I get up every Sunday morning, I go to church, I put on my nice clothes, everything looks like it's supposed to be? Or do you want to actually live like that on Monday through Saturday? You see, it needs to be the same every single solitary day. We should be able to have church on Monday and have the same turnout that we have on Sunday. We talk about having revivals this morning, and we're going to have some. Guess what? Who's going to show up? Are you going to be here? And when I say that, I understand people got to work, okay? I ain't talking about all that. You know better than that. You know me. I understand you got to work. You got things going on with your family. I understand all of that. Guess what? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you are able to be here, are you going to be here? Are you going to do what God expects of you? Your reasonable service? But people just have a form of godliness. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7, the Bible says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning. Boy, don't we live in that generation? Everybody's so smart. Everybody's so intelligent, right? And if you're not, you can Google it. And if you Google it long enough, you'll find somebody that agrees with your point of view. That's even better. Try being the preacher in this generation. I think everybody ought to have to experience it once in their life. Just for about a year. You try to be the preacher that gets up and studies week in and week out, puts time and effort into it for everybody to come tell you how wrong you are. And in reality, they ain't picked it up and read it in probably no telling how long. Blows my mind. After the funeral was over, because of the type of person I am, I get cornered by an elderly gentleman. He starts to tell me all the things I said that were wrong. So I am escorting this young fellow beside me away from everybody else because he's starting to make a scene and I'm not all about that. So we're walking our way to the cars. And he is going on and telling me what he thinks, and that's fine. I don't care if you agree with me on everything. That's not what it's about. You don't have to agree with me with everything. You don't have to line up with me. But you ought to be pretty close somewhere in there. Salvation should be pretty straightforward, right? You believe death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's pretty solid. Got to believe that, okay? If you disagree with me on that, really need to check up. So we're going through and he's telling me all this stuff. He's making salvation more complicated than what it had to be because he wanted to do something. Everybody wants to do something for their salvation. They want to put a work in there. And it caught me funny because every time he would say something, he brought up water baptism and things like that. I say, well, that's an Acts, it's a different dispensation. I quote the scripture. And he got talking about some other stuff, and I'd say, well, what do you do with 2 Timothy 2:15? Study to show thyself approved and God of work, need not be shamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You got to divide it properly, right? He said, you're just like a preacher. Thank you. He said, you have scripture for everything you believe. I said, I thought we were debating scripture here. I thought you said what I preached was wrong and you believed it this way. So then it's scripture versus scripture. But yet I'm the only one giving scripture and you're giving an opinion. I don't care about your opinion. Everybody's got one. So I said, yeah, I'll just give you scripture. He said, I'm going to pray for you. I said, I'll take all the prayers I can get, brother. Whether they come from you or anybody else, don't make any difference to me. I need every one of them. In fact, I kind of like them ones when people don't like you. They seem to pray harder. They may be praying for a different reason, but at least they're praying, right? Amen. I sit there and I thought, man, why would you want to make salvation complicated? You got a form of godliness, just like that man did. He had a form of godliness. You know, he sounded good when he first started his argument. He sounded like he knew scripture. He sounded like he was going to be intelligent and go, you know, and give me Bible for what he believed. But in reality, he just has a form of it. And you see, that's where everybody is nowadays. It's just a form. I talked to my dad this past week. My dad had to do 2 funerals. He's a busy man. He said, yeah, it's how it works. He said, you get vacation days for the week off and you have to do 2 funerals. So, it's just part of it. So, he did 2 funerals. And we got talking about it and he said the same thing. He said, it's just like looking into empty people. They just don't care. He said, you're giving the gospel and you're just trying to give it as clear and plainly as you can. And he said, they just don't care. I said, what happens when you get to that point where you're sitting there preaching and they just don't care? He said, just preach it anyway. He said, find you 1 or 2 that do care and just go with it. You see, my dad's been doing it a long time. My dad's been through ups and downs. My dad's had 80, 90 members. My dad's had 10. My dad said he's in a constant church split. He said it all just depends on the month, whatever. You just sit there, it goes up, then it goes down, and it goes up, then it goes down. He said they leave, and then a couple of years later, they come back. Why? Because they couldn't find anything else better. Everybody looking for something better, right? But then they realize that not everybody preaches King James Bible's infallible and error word of God, so then they have to search to find one. So either you compromise, or you go where there's truth being preached. You see, there's a problem. Problem is everybody has that form. But they truly don't know what it's really all about. And see, I think that's where we are more than people really want to admit. That's what I kind of came to the conclusion this week when I was sitting there thinking about it and what I was going to preach this week. And I was thinking about all the New Year's resolution stuff. Everybody wants to preach those kind of messages, right? Resolutions are garbage anyways. You don't ever keep them. Everybody going to lose weight? Hey, losing weight. I lose enough weight to stay in these suits is all I do. It fluctuates. I can button it 1 month. I can't button it the next month. I lose enough weight to get it back on again. I just don't want to buy new ones. Y'all the same way. I can go to the gym, work out. You're not going to the gym. Hey, you ain't lifting weights. Y'all ain't lifting weights since high school. Only one in here lifting weights is probably you, because you're a fireman. That's the only reason why. He just got to be able to climb something. The only reason why he's doing it. No, I thought about all that and thought about charging people, making them, hey, you know, read the Word of God this year. And you know, I already did that. And I'll do it again. But it ain't got to be a New Year's resolution thing. You know you're supposed to read the Word of God, right? You know you're supposed to study the Word of God. I ain't got to tell you that every week. Just pick it up and start reading it. You say, well, I don't know how to. Just pick it up. That'd do you good. Just pick it up and start somewhere. But if I could give you anything to start off your new year, it's this. Do you truly know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Truthfully know it. Right here. Not here. You can know who God is, and that's a start. But does He really live within your heart? Does He actually direct your path? Or is it just a form of godliness? Just a form of it. I don't want anybody to die and go to hell. I don't like doing those kind of funerals. I like to at least have a pretty good idea. I'd hate to be able to have to do one of your funerals and question whether or not were they really, truly saved? Man, I'd hate to do it. because I know that you've heard the gospel because I've given it to you time and time again. So this morning, if I can tell you one thing, get your eternity settled. Get your eternity settled. From the youngest person in here to the oldest person in here, have it settled. Know what you believe. Believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ according to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Nothing more and nothing less. Don't add anything to it and don't take anything away from it. Don't try to put yourself in there. Just take it for what it is and just believe it. Just believe it. You don't have to know all the ins and outs. You don't have to understand the whole Bible. All you got to know is that He died on the cross for your sins when you did not deserve it, and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's all you got to believe. This morning, Miss Barb is going to come play. As you stand to your feet, if you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, the best way you can start 2023 is to get your life right.